I am so thankful for our opportunity last week to share a dialogue with Kyle Holton as we were looking at the passage in Hebrews chapter 10, as we were looking for ways that we see God at work. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25 reminds us that God is faithful. We need to hold on to his promise, that we need to encourage and love and spur one another on to love and good deeds. We need to continue to join together in these opportunities of worship and fellowship through our YouTube and Zoom, our emails and our phone calls. Let us look for each and every opportunity to spur and encourage and to love one another. We got a great chance in these times for us to see how God is at work, to look forward in the things that he has prepared for us, even in times that might seem strange or new to us. I want to share with you 4 points that I think will be very helpful in getting a better understanding of who God is. So often we find God as a God who is more like a genie. He responds to our prayer requests that somehow if we are Christ followers, we're going to be exempt from the trials and the troubles of life. I know that there are many who believe that if we are praying, then there should be a great statistic of difference within the Christian world, that those with cancer, those with great hardship, those with great trials would somehow avoid that or overcome that. And I think sometimes we misunderstand who really God is. As we think about what God is doing, share these 4 points with you. God is faithful, it's promised, but it's not explained to us. It's not fully outlined for us to be able to understand. That trials are an opportunity for us to learn more about God. And that during these trials, we can discover the great strength that is inside us, God's Spirit that is in us, that gives us a unique ability to overcome a lot of trial and trouble within our world. And finally, for us as Christ followers, to be reminded that we don't set a time schedule, that we are participants, we are faithful believers that God is in control. Though the whole world might believe that things are in chaos or disrupted, we understand that God has purpose and plan in these times. God is a God who is faithful, and his faithfulness is promised all throughout Scripture. Throughout history, we hear God continuing to tell his people that he will be faithful, even through difficult times. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters and green pastures, through the valley that's dark and fearful. God is there with us. And we see throughout Scripture how God has continued to fulfill those promises as he delivers his people from the trials and the troubles of their situations. But it's not fully explained to us. You think about the situation in John the Baptist, a faithful individual who is proclaiming the Messiah. He's heralding this new one that is coming. God's kingdom is now here, and he's drawing all the attention towards the one that is to come. He has the opportunity to baptize Jesus, to hear God speak out, "This is my son, in him I am well pleased." But just in the midst of Jesus' ministry, John is arrested. John is beheaded, all because King Herod made a promise. Is God faithful? Definitely. Would we evaluate, would we calculate his faithfulness in that moment? Some of us might be misled. Think about Peter just a few moments later as he's arrested. Angel comes and awakes him in the middle of the night. His chains are released from him. He is escorted out of the prison and given freedom. Well, is God faithful in that moment? We would determine that situation different than John the Baptist. But see, God is at work in all of those situations for his own glory and for his own outcome. Paul and Silas, when they are arrested, they are put into a dungeon. They are chained and they are singing praises in the midst of that difficult time. A great earthquake comes. Their chains are released. The doors are open. The jailer is about to kill himself, and they cry out and say, "Don't harm yourself." And from that moment on, they begin to proclaim Jesus the Christ. And the jailer and his family are baptized to become Christ followers in that unique situation. See, God is faithful, and he's promised to be faithful, but it's not always explained. It's not always evident to who we are in the current situations. Our responsibility is to remember that he is faithful. And when things seem dark and bleak, when the outcome is not as we would predict it or wish it, we still hold unswervingly to that hope. The second thing is that the trials are an opportunity for us to learn more about God. Trials are a great time for us to reassess what we believe and how we believe in God. His power, his strength, his vision, his future plans. Great story of trial and heartache in the life of Job. Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 4 says this: Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm and said, Who is it that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. And God then gives Job a variety of questions that help Job to understand that God's ways were already at work long before Job was ever born. That God's power was great in the creation of the world, and God's purpose in this moment is far beyond Job's understanding. The story continues on in Job chapter 40, verses 3 through 8. And Job answers the Lord, and he says, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. And then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me so that you could justify yourself? Once again, God proclaims that his thoughts, his ways, his actions are beyond any assessment that Job might be able to lay before God. In these difficult times, we have an opportunity to learn even more about who God really is, his power and his might. And during these trials, we can discover that God's Spirit that is in us is strong and powerful. It is mighty and active. Jesus says to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 15 and 16, he says, If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. Forever. Jesus reminds his disciples that in the midst of difficult situations, the Spirit of God is with them. In the midst of times of trial, when they don't know how to act or speak, when they are brought before the kings and the rulers, that this Spirit will give them the words that they need. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 through 20. Jesus reminds his disciples that this Spirit is with them always. Paul would tell the church in Ephesus that the Spirit that's in them is the same Spirit that brought Christ up from the dead. It is mighty and powerful, yet so often we live on our own strength and not by God's Spirit in us. As Christ followers, we don't set a time schedule. We don't command God, but we live in purpose, in belief that God is still in control. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we are seeing the conclusion of a terrible story of Joseph, who was sold off into slavery as he lives in hardship and difficulty, trial after trial in Egypt. Yet God provides a way for him to come and to work as second under Pharaoh. And as a great famine engulfs their area, God brings a restoration and a redemption for he and his brothers and family. And as his brothers meet Joseph, Joseph says, You intended this for harm, but God intended it for good. See, the plans that God has for our life, even in the difficulties, God has great purpose and plan for. We can remember that God has not forsaken us. God has not left us. in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, as Jesus is sending off his disciples, he reminds them again to go into all the world, to proclaim the great things about God, to teach all that Jesus has been teaching them, and that he would be with them always. It's easy for us to assess our current situation and believe that somehow God has left us, neglected us, forgotten us, or is not listening to us. There's a great story in Genesis of Abraham as he is dealing with the promise and the proclamation of becoming what God has called him to be as a leader, as the start of a new nation. But the day comes when God says, I want you to take your son, and I want you to sacrifice him on this mountain, Mount Moriah. Abraham gathers the wood, the fire, his son, and they make this journey, take this hike. The conversation ensues between Isaac and his father about what is about to happen. And you know that there's great turmoil, there's great angst. It is with great purpose and belief that God is still in control. But how is this all going to work out? They find themselves on top of this mountain. Abraham prepares the altar. He brings his son and he places him on top of that. And in just that moment, in Genesis chapter 22, we read that Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. How often do we miscalculate? Do we misunderstand God's timing, God's ways, God's purposes? Because in the midst of our own circumstances, we believe that God should act or react. God should answer or respond to what we are demanding or calling out for. Yet God continues to educate us, to show us that his ways are much higher and broader than our understanding. Even in this moment of Abraham, it wasn't just a moment of deliverance, but an opportunity to foreshadow what God was going to do on that very mountain. Many years later, with his own son, Jesus Christ. As his son was placed above all to see, was crucified and killed, there was no ram, there was no last minute salvation. There was no change in the plan. God goes through the difficulty himself to provide great redemption and grace for us as well. This morning, as we think about who God is, we look forward to what he is doing, even in the midst of this difficulty, because he is refining us. And he is preparing great opportunities for us to work and to proclaim his greatness, even when the world is unaware that he is alive and active. Today we have the opportunity to worship a God, to hold firmly to the belief that he is faithful, that he is purposeful, that he is great and mighty, and that he is living in us.